This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار In what is collected in Sahih Muslim on the authority of the companion Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that our Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء Indeed Islam, this religion, it began as something strange and it will return to being something strange just as it began. So may the glad tidings be for the strangers. This hadith is an amazing hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concise and succinct in its words, but amazing and deep in its meaning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing two times in this ummah and two groups of people from amongst the people of this ummah. And even though the distance or the time that elapses between those two groups of people is maybe well be centuries, may well be a great deal of time, but there is a overlap between them in terms of the situation that they face. Both of those groups of people are strangers amongst their people. In the beginning of Islam, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam was seen as something strange. You would have the odd person in a family being a Muslim. You had the odd person in a tribe or a clan being a Muslim. You had the odd person in a community or a city accepting Islam. Those people, they were strangers. Because what they stood up for and what they upheld and what they believed in was something that the vast majority of people didn't accept, they didn't like. Wasn't the popular opinion, wasn't the mainstream or the norm of those communities and those societies. The people didn't like what they were preaching initially, wasn't something which they liked. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal would say that all of the prophets of Allah, alayhim salatu wassalam, when they would come to their people and they would call them to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, from amongst the most common responses that they would receive was مَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي أَبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ This isn't something that we've heard before from our forefathers. This is something weird, something strange, something that we don't accept. That is how Islam began. And for those people at that time to hold on to their religion, to be steadfast upon it, to persevere and have the discipline and the strength and the courage to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, required a great deal from them. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal honors and blesses those people that we call the companions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا But then at the end or towards the end of time, Islam becomes strange again. Not necessarily this time because the Muslims are few and far between. Not necessarily because there's only one Muslim in a family or in a community or in a country. But because the correct understanding of Islam and holding on to the Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah, that becomes strange, even amongst the Muslims, as the scholars of the Salaf used to mention, that a person wants to stand up and hold on to the Sunnah. They want to abide by the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. They want to live their life in accordance to the revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal gave. But even amongst the Muslims, that becomes strange because the people have become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Iman has become weak. Their understanding of the religion is not the same way as the companions and the tabi'een understood this religion. So the Muslim even at that time becomes strange even amongst the Muslims. They look at him and he's someone who wants to uphold the sunnah, or she's someone who wants to apply the sunnah in her life, and they consider that to be strange. Because the way that they want to practice Islam isn't necessarily according to the Quran and to the sunnah. You have the person who's invited to the wedding. But the wedding's full of music, full of free mixing. That person wants to stay away from that wedding because they want to uphold in their life the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to uphold the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his own family, her own friends, her own relatives are going to speak against them. Why? Because that person's trying to hold on to the sunnah. And so they are like strangers in that time. And that is why in the narration or the wording of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this hadith that I mentioned, this khutbah, we began this khutbah with, there's a continuation because the companion said, "Man hum ya Rasulullah? Who are these strangers that you're speaking about that you gave to them this amazing reward, tuba, glad tidings?" Some of the scholars said he means every goodness, every reward is for those people. And others from amongst the companions, because the word tuba is mentioned in the Quran, some of them said it is from the names of Jannah that those people will have Jannah. Another said it is the name from the names of the trees of Jannah, a tree by the name of Tuba. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to those people their reward, Tuba lil Ghuraba. Glad tidings reward are for those strangers. They said, "Who are they, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Alladhina yuslihuna idha fasada an-nas." They're those people who want to stay upright when others are committing mistakes and errors. Just because the people don't know their tawheed, they don't know the sunnah, they don't know what the companions were upon, doesn't mean the one who is standing up for that, defending it, acting upon it, he's the one that's the peculiar strange one. He's strange in that sense because the people don't understand it anymore. But it's not strange in the sense that in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's the odd one out. That person, even by himself, is the person that can uphold the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those people that do this, for them there is an amazing reward. Because one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied and told us, and one of the principles or one of the things that we learn in our religion, is that as time passes by, it is more and more difficult to be steadfast upon your religion, more and more difficult to learn your religion, to seek knowledge, more and more difficult to understand your religion and to apply it in the correct way, more and more difficult to understand the true context in which those issues of the Sharia should be understood. And so it's difficult, requires discipline, requires time, requires effort, requires a great deal of juhud and ijtihad from you. And that is when the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also in Sahih Muslim, he said that we once went to the Prophet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we entered into the graveyard. And he gave salams to the inhabitants of the graveyard, as is the sunnah. As-salamu alaykum dara qawmi mu'mineen wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. He gave them salams, the deceased of the graveyard. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam to those companions who were with him, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّا قَدْ رَأَيْنَا إِخْوَانَنَا. I wish that I could see that we could meet our brothers. The companions were taken aback and they said, "O Messenger of Allah, أَوَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكَ. Are we not your brothers that you want to meet, that you yearn to long and long to meet with?" He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. You are my companions. My brothers are those people who have yet to come," meaning those believers who will come after my death, meaning the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another wording of this same hadith, he said, "There are those who will come after me, who never saw me nor met me, but they will still believe in me and follow me." That is the definition of being a brother to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah make us from amongst those people. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, and how will you recognize your brothers when you never met them? If you never met your brother in your life, you never met someone in your whole life, unless they sent you a photo or they give to you a very detailed description, how will you know who that person is? O Messenger of Allah, will you recognize these people and you never met them?" He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "If one of you was to have a horse that had streaks of white on its legs, and it was in a paddock with horses that are all one single color, wouldn't it stand out, that horse, that streak with white?" They said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "Likewise, the people of my ummah, they will be streaked with light on Yawm al-Qiyamah from the remnants, from the signs of wudu that they used to make, on their arms, on their feet. Those signs of wudu will be prominent on that day." And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "And I will meet you on my hawd, my pond. But as I stand on my pond, there will be people that will come and they will be pushed away by the angels, the way that the stray camel is pushed away. And I will say, 'Let them come, let them come.' And they will say to me, 'You don't know how they change your religion after you.' So I will say to them, 'Then take them away from me, take them away from me.'" This is what it means to be a gharib, a stranger. To hold on to something when people are altering that. To hold on to something that people are changing. To hold on to something that people are trying to water down. Because your belief and my belief is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that there is no good, nothing that is beneficial, nothing that will bring you success and salvation in this life and the next, except that Allah Azza wa Jal gave it to us in the Quran. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned it to us in his authentic sunnah. And therefore, to hold on to that, understanding it correctly, in its correct context, applying it in the correct way, that is our religion. And those people have a great reward, as is mentioned here by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those are the people that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam longed to meet. They're the people that he wished to meet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to prepare his companions for that time. Because even in the time of the companions, or towards the end of that time, when the companions were few in number, when the companions were the minority amongst the people, even though there was a great deal of good and piety at that time, but there were certain things that were becoming strange that the companions were upon. He used to prepare Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam his companions, the mindset of the believer, the way that you have to think and sometimes behave, especially when the people who are closest to you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, they're the ones who are saying that you're not doing a good job or you're not on the correct path. And it's because of their ignorance, because of their lack of knowledge, not because necessarily you are making a mistake. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as is narrated in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْكِبِي. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam held me by the shoulders. And he said, يَبْنَ عُمَرْ كِنْ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. He said, O Ibn Umar, be in this life, in this world, as if you're a stranger or a traveler. Because the stranger, the traveler has a certain mindset. When you go to a place and you're a stranger, you're a traveler, you behave in a certain way. You think in a certain way. You're going to settle in that place in a certain way, as opposed to the one who's a resident, or the one who thinks that they will live forever, or the one who doesn't have any intention of moving on from that place. There are two different ways of looking at something. The believer knows that this dunya is temporary, that this life is temporary, it's finite. Even if you live for 100 years, it is like the blink of an eye. And so the believer is the one who is gharib, they're a stranger. They behave like a stranger. Their mindset is a stranger. And the word ghurba here in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah doesn't mean that you're doing things that are weird or crazy or extreme. No. You're gharib in the sense that you're trying to hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah at a time when people don't necessarily understand or recognize what that means. That is what ghurba is. That is what it means to be strange. In the hadith of Abu Tha'labat al-Khushani radiyallahu an, and what is collected in the Tirmidhi in his Jami'. He said that the Prophet told us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inna min waraikum ayyaman. Indeed, ahead of you are days. Asabru fiha kalqabidi ala al-jamar. The one who is steadfast in those days will be like the one who holds onto a red hot coal. Meaning the one who understands their religion, holds onto it and applies it to the best of their human ability, will be like someone who you give to them in their hands a red hot coal. Why? Because if you were to put that into someone's hand, your immediate reaction is to let go, because it's painful and it's difficult and it's hard, but he holds on to it, knowing that this is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet told us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the reward of one of those people is like the reward of 50 from amongst you, speaking to the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is because those people are striving and they're working hard to try to understand their religion and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live their lives in accordance to the teachings of the Quran and the authentic sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To be from those people, it is something which is extremely rewarding. And we live in times that are difficult, where sometimes it's not easy to hold on to your religion. Sometimes it's not easy to stand up and be confident and proud in what you believe in, even though you know that it is the truth and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these ahadith, these rewards, these reminders from our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I hope that they serve by way of inspiration and motivation to keep us steadfast in these times, that Allah Azza wa Jal makes us from amongst those people, that he gives to them thabat, gives to them steadfastness, gives to them certainty, gives to them strength in their iman, makes them from amongst those people that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them his ma'iyyah, he's with them subhanahu wa ta'ala with his divine care and his divine protection. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'ani wa sunnah. ونفعني وإياكم بما فيهما من الآيات والحكمة أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Two points that I want to leave you with in light of what we are discussing in this hadith, or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I began this khutbah with, that indeed this religion began as something strange and it will return to being strange, so glad tidings for the strangers. The hadith has a number of wordings, and from amongst those wordings, when they said, O Messenger of Allah, describe those people to us, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الَّذِينَ يَزِيدُونَ إِذَا نَقَصَ النَّاسِ. They are those people who increase when the people decrease. Meaning that when the people are decreasing in terms of their iman and their faith, in terms of their piety, in terms of their awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their consciousness of Him, in terms of their ibadah, in terms of their worship, in terms of their knowledge and their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, these are the people who increase. They increase. They do more and they learn more and they strive more and they seek to worship Allah Azza wa Jal more and they seek to abide by the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah more, because that is from the descriptions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to those people. Two points then that are very important. Number one, the issue of patience and steadfastness. It is from the greatest of Allah's blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person thabat, gives to a person steadfastness. And that is why when Umm Salama radiallahu anha was asked, what was the most frequent dua you heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make? She said, I used to often hear him make the dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Or the one who turns the hearts, turn my heart towards your religion. He is to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep him steadfast, to keep him patient, to give him the strength to be able to uphold or stay upon firmly upon this religion. And the second thing, that in order for you to abide by this, to uphold this, to be from amongst these people that are the ghuraba and the strangers, then you have to learn your religion. You have to seek knowledge. How can you distinguish between what is tawheed and shirk, what is sunnah and bid'ah, what is correct or incorrect, if you don't know your religion? You haven't sought the knowledge of your religion. You don't know what's correct and incorrect because you haven't taken the time or made the effort to learn. And that's when you get things in the correct context. That's when you understand the rulings of the Sharia the way that they're meant to be understood. That's when Allah Azza wa Jal by His will, He safeguards you through that knowledge from going to extremes and doing things that don't make any sense, not sanctioned by Allah Azza wa Jal or legislated in this religion. To seek knowledge is one of the greatest ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fortifies a person with. And that is why those people that will be taken away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah is because of their lack of knowledge. When they started to innovate in the religion and change the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they didn't learn the Quran, they didn't know the Sunnah, they didn't know what the companions were upon radiallahu anhum. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal by His most beautiful names and lofty attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endows us all with beneficial knowledge and with righteous action, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those people who, when we hear the admonitions of the Quran and the Sunnah, we follow them in the most correct and the best of ways. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He keeps us safe, us and our families, that Allah Azza wa Jalla showers His mercy and forgiveness upon us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards us from the whisperings of shaitan and from the allies of shaitan. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.